What's up, everybody? I'm Lucas.
I'm Boo.
And we are so glad you are joining us this morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time of day you choose to listen. We're just glad you choose to listen.
We are so glad.
So, Phil, how are you doing today?
I'm so good, I make myself jealous, man.
Dang, and you sound so old, so old. You make me feel sorry for you sometimes when you say things like that, Phil. That's all right, I love you, I'm glad you're here. I'm doing pretty good today. I'm a little tired, that's okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't ask you how you were doing. How are you doing, Lucas?
You know what, Phil, it's okay, I know you don't care about me, and I understand. I'm doing good.
I care about you, I just care more about myself, obviously. A lot of other things. That's terrible, isn't it? Yes.
Phil, there's like the thing, you know, where people, you ask how anybody's doing, they say, yeah, I'm doing good. Like, it's what you say.
Right.
It's what you do.
Because you don't want to cause trouble.
Right. And so you don't want to, like, every time, and like, it's not appropriate every time says, hey, how you doing? Like, in the middle of the street, you're like,
I'm doing terrible.
You're right. Like, but I just, like, I was talking to Tori the other day. She's like, I just need you to tell me when stuff's stressing you out or, like, what's going on. I'm like,
yeah.
So, but she'll ask me how I'm doing. And, like, even when I'm stressed out, I feel like I'm genuinely doing good.
So, right. Okay.
So, that's like, it doesn't matter. Like,
exactly.
There's a lot of us, like, I'm still doing good, and it's just, like, my personality and all that is like, that's where I'm going to, I'm good.
Like
there
I told you.
Stuff going on.
Like I told you the other day, I want to tell my doctor. He says, well, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm amazing. But then I forget. No, he wants to know all the stuff that's wrong with me.
He's all right, we're done.
I have to change gears and say, no, this hurts. This hurts. This hurts. I can't do this. I can't
do
this.
It's one of those times you're allowed to complain, Phil.
Yeah, right.
You are, in fact, encouraged.
Anyway, so that's kind of a precursor of what we're going to talk about today, but we're not there yet.
No.
We're still welcoming everybody. It's great for you guys to listen, and we're happy to be in our second season. Yeah. So what's the best thing you had to eat this week, Lucas? See, I got you first.
Oh, you got me. Dang, Phil, usually you don't even ask. let's see. The best thing I had to eat this week. You'd think I'd be prepared for this question.
You would think. But I'm thinking about it.
Now, Phil, we haven't eaten this yet, but I do know today that we're having the last luncheon for Pastor Gordon.
Yeah. Ted's.
Cafe and so I'm pretty excited to eat that.
Escondido.
So,
Ted's Hidden Cafe, which is not hidden at all.
No, it's very well known.
I mean,
there's a giant
you can
sign.
See it right on the road.
And
they
they're
put
all
a sign
over the state. There's Ted's everywhere.
Yeah, I don't get
it. So, yeah, but they do have great queso. Great. So I love the salsa there. I just think like the chips and salsa and queso at Ted's, they're like good Tex-Mex chips and dip.
Interesting.
So,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm not
good.
Crazy about their queso. But
I know.
Because it's
not.
A little creamy, saucy to me.
Yeah.
But it is free.
Yes.
Just throw it on the table there. So.
And here's the weird part.
Of course, I eat it.
So I don't actually like going to Ted's. It's just like anytime I go, I'm disappointed leaving by what I get. However, whenever I get Ted's catered, it's so good. I don't know what the difference is. The beans are better. The rice is better.
Yeah.
The enchiladas or fajitas are better. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I haven't eaten it yet, but that's probably the best thing I'm going to eat.
That's probably
going
to be the best thing. Well, I have the winner. I mean, for my whole life, this would have sounded disgusting to me. But I ate Brussels sprouts this week.
Ooh,
and
with
they
bacon.
Are amazing.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe I've talked about this before. I was in Kansas City, and we ordered in 54th Street Grill. Shout out to 54th Street Grill in Independence, Missouri. And they have these Brussels sprouts with candied bacon, candied walnuts, and a balsamic reduction.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, and they're charred, and they're beautiful,
amazing.
And they're so good. And I always hated Brussels sprouts,
but
these are great.
Well, but I feel like Brussels sprouts, like just a Brussels sprout, should be hated, right?
It's
like,
kind of bitter,
it deserves
sour,
it. It's not great. But the way that you can doctor them up and make them amazing, and like so as a kid, Brussels sprouts aren't for you, but as your palate matures and you learn how to take that bitterness and really make it delicious, it's a big deal. So
kind of a good life lesson, isn't it?
Hey.
Learning to make bitterness delicious.
It's like it's going to play into what we're talking about today, Phil. I don't know. This is working out perfectly.
Everything.
This is unplanned.
So I'm thirsty. I want some OJ. I want to get going this morning.
You want some?
Is it time for our Gen Z Word of the Week?
Gen Z.
Woo.
You can do the clapping button if you want.
The clapping button. Oh, it's just a lot of trouble to get to the clapping button because it's
button?
On a different page. Well, so I go over here. I go over here. Crickets, laughter, rim shot, applause.
All right, that was worth it. All right, Gen Z Word of the Week. Phil, are you ready?
I am ready.
L.
Excuse me?
L.
That's the letter. That's the Gen Z letter of the week.
Yes.
L. L.
L. I'll spell it for you. L.
Okay. So it's literally the letter L. So yes. That's a word.
That's a word.
I'm all L, man. I have no, this is so insane. What planet have I stepped out onto? L?
L.
I literally have never heard anyone say that. That's how disconnected I am. So I would say L is, you know, I'm going back a couple of generations. It just means loser.
Loser, loser, yeah, double loser. Loser. You know, that's actually really close.
Okay.
But you still took the L. It just means loss.
Oh, you take took the L. L.
Took
okay.
the L, yeah.
Like a W.
Like every time I play video games, I take the L.
Me too.
As a Thunder fan this year, we are taking lots
We're
of L's.
We're taking lots of L's. Oh, my goodness. We tried to watch a little bit of that against the Bulls the other night. That was
You just have to watch it and just watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and go, wow, that guy's going to be really, really, really good. Really, really good. So,
yeah, that's true.
And Lou Dort,
so,
man.
So, taking the L. So, I took another L.
You took another L.
If you bet on me, they don't bet on me, do they? They just want to just sit back and go, uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
Phil knows.
Phil is old nothing. With his bran muffins and his not knowing English and all these things.
No, I know English.
And his,
Lucas,
if I were any better, I'd be jealous. What?
No, if I were any better, I'd be twins.
Oh.
And then I'm so good, I make myself jealous.
So good at see, yeah, yeah. That's don't ever say that again, Phil.
I'm gonna say it all the time. It's true. It is my thing.
I can't believe I'm not better.
Can't believe I'm not butter. Did you say
better? Better, 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 better.
Yeah,
better, 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 better.
So, what's been going on this week? What are we doing now? What is this?
Hey,
It's time for. Dad Stories with Lucas, right?
Dad Stories with Lucas! Now,
Lucas!
Before anyone bets if there's poop or no poop, I just want to let everybody know this isn't actually a dad story today.
It's actually Life Announcements with Lucas!
Life Update! For those that don't go to church with us, which is actually quite a bit of our listener base, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I've been here at Eastwood for about 2 years serving as the student pastor, and it's been an amazing time. I met Phil. We started a podcast, lots of other great stuff that, you know, has gone. That sounds terrible. There really is a lot, but anyway, just over the past few months, was contacted by a ministry in Oklahoma City called Mission OKC about coming back to serve with them. And so after lots of prayer, fasting, deliberation, and just seeking God's will.
Whining about what do I do to fill.
Yes, that's right. Seeking wise advice and then talking to Phil after that. sorry, Phil.
Ouch. Oh,
blessed is okay. Phil, because Lucas makes fun of him a lot. Sorry, Phil. I hope words of affirmation aren't your love language.
They used to be.
Well, I took that away from you. Anyway, we have chosen and feel like it's God's will. We're going to accept that and move back to Oklahoma City here in April. Our last Sunday at Eastwood will be April 18th.
Yeah.
And so we're just super excited to go. We're not excited to leave. Obviously,
right.
There's a lot that we're leaving behind, and so we're gonna miss our friends and those that we consider family up here. But that's home.
Yeah.
And so we're excited to get to move home and to get to seek the Lord there. We'll be associate pastor of small groups and community outreach. That the church is all about outreach. And so we actually will be serving 2,000 lunches a day this summer to low-income apartments and families all throughout the city that just need some help getting by. So we'll be able to serve kids there and then do Bible clubs with all those same kids. And so it'll be a really, really cool time just to reach those different parts of the city for the Lord. So we're really excited for this next part of our journey. And then hopefully over the next few years, we'll begin to be able to start planting a campus for them as well. So
yeah, so that's another really exciting part.
Yeah.
So you have worked with Mission OKC for a few years already. For those of you that don't know, Lucas lived in Oklahoma City before.
Mm-hmm.
And you grew up in that area.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but you'd work with Mission OKC and even took our Eastwood's youth group to Mission OKC in the summer.
Yeah, right? We went last year and they served.
A couple times, actually, right?
Just once last year. And actually, Eastwood's student group is still planning to come this year. They'll come visit us actually this summer, which will be really cool to get to see our kids again and to love on them a little more. So,
I would just say, Lucas, you've done a great job building relationships. You know, a bunch of the kids were in here yesterday cleaning out my office.
Crazy.
Ironically, you know, we talked about this last time on the podcast about my office is like a scene from Jumanji.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't, when from where I'm sitting, that back corner still is quite full of stuff. But it is much more well organized, and there's a lot less stuff in the room.
Because
where Lucas is looking, the other direction, Jumanji is gone.
Except
for one tree. One tree survived, Lucas.
I think that's your tree, Phil.
That's not my tree. I didn't want the tree.
Well, Phil, here's why that tree's there, I'm sure. Yesterday when we were throwing things away, we literally had to stand on top of the doors of the dumpster to get it to close. So I think we've left the listeners in suspense long enough, though.
What?
Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil will continue on.
Yes.
So we have been preparing. We have been practicing some remote podcast. And I think it's going to work out really, really well, actually. So we'll continue podcasting once a week, most weeks. And
we'll do our best not to miss weeks. That's going to be hard. I think it's going to be a challenge for us, so you guys can lift us up in prayer and encourage us to keep doing that. Say, where's the next episode?
Hey, where are you guys at? What episode at?
So, Lucas, we're really excited for you, proud of you.
Thank you, Phil.
My sister really hates all these sound effects. I don't know. She hated them the week we had way too many. I can't remember which one of us had the
buttons. I bet it was you.
No, that was not me.
Now, your sister did tell me she enjoys my rapping, which is encouraging.
She loves
something
the
that
rap.
Might not need to be encouraged.
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoy doing it. Sometimes it gets cut out because it's not very good, but
anyway. He makes up words.
Now, Phil,
that's a rap thing.
Tori said you did last time you talked to Tori, maybe it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You just said, "Hey, I just realized that when Lucas goes, you and Naomi are going to go with them,
right?"
I know.
It just hit me that you're also taking Naomi and Tori with you and the new baby.
Yes.
We don't know the name of this child yet. But just makes it even more sad for me because I love you, but I also love your family. And they're the cuter part of you.
They are. Hey. I always say, like, people come for Lucas because I'm loud and kind of obnoxious. Like, people see me from miles away.
What's that over there?
Right? It's like a giant show. But they stay for Tori because she's amazing and loving and kind and quiet. And just, she's the best. I love my wife.
Yes.
So, as I should.
That's a good one, Lucas. That's a good thing to do. So if you guessed poop, you lost. There was no poop in that story.
No poop.
But anyway, so we're going to head into something that I don't think we've ever talked about on the podcast, although it's come up in the midst of other subjects a lot, but we're going to talk about happiness.
Happiness. Why can't we?
One of the reasons that I wanted to talk about this today is that one of the things my wife and I do when we're traveling, we went to Kansas City and back this week, is we listen to podcasts.
Ooh.
And we listen to a podcast called The Happiness Lab,
which
is it's not a Christian podcast at all. But I was thinking about there was some stuff on there that was really good. And then there's some stuff that's kind of like, I don't know so much. But I thought, well, when I was writing for a hospice organization here in town, I wrote a whole series on what Jesus said about happiness. Because that's one of the subjects that people who are dealing with end-of-life issues, they want to really minister to that. You know, how do you maintain a positive attitude through suffering and through loss and impending loss? You know, if you don't know what hospice is the ministry to people who are dying, basically, who are in the end-of-life process. And they kind of know it already. It's not people who die suddenly. These are people that are sick and there's nothing medically that can be done for them. So when I wrote about that, it was from the Beatitudes, which is Matthew 5?
Matthew.
Right. You know,
Matthew
I meant
5.
To look this up. It's one of those
It's
names.
Matthew 5, 3 through 12. I did look it up.
3 through 12.
Yes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
So when Jesus lays this down, the Beatitudes, he's, you know, it's the Sermon on the Mount, the famous sermon, his kind of opening of his ministry. It's kind of how he's defining what life is going to be like now that he's here. I mean, he's kind of coming on the scene as, well, I mean, as far as they're concerned, he's just a teacher. But from his perspective, I mean, he knows that he is bringing in the kingdom of God, the new covenant. And this is how he introduces it. He introduces it with that amazing set of here's how to be happy. I mean, because that's really what it means. It's blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That word blessed just means happy. It's really, really simply the word for happiness. And I think, you know, we want to talk about the fact probably that it's not just passing happiness. It's an undergirding happiness. A sort of a basic happiness. It's not talking about good fortune or good feelings or giggles or, it's not just a surface happiness.
Right. I think, you know, that surface happiness is if your team wins something, if you get the that's
the
happiness.
Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah. The last valid Super Bowl, the Chiefs won. This last one.
Didn't
really count.
Someone's still bitter.
So, yeah, your team wins. Or you get the promotion, or you get the girlfriend, or you get you get the stimulus check.
Get your stimmy money.
By the way, you know, we were in Kansas City, and it was on a Monday. We were at a restaurant meeting my mom for lunch at a restaurant, and she was like, "I can't believe there are so many people out today. It's a Monday." She said, "There's a lot of traffic on the streets today." And we realized it's a new holiday. It was stimulus day. The stimulus checks came out over the weekend.
Yeah.
And so it was like everybody was out spending
their stimulus
check.
Got their happiness. Yeah. Blessed are those that went through a pandemic, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. So, that's not the same blessed, I think.
Right. So that's not the same kind of – we're not talking about happiness that comes and goes, because we know – I mean, money's the perfect example.
Yeah.
And you get money and it feels so good and you spend it and you're like the feeling in the pit of your stomach. You take think about a $100 bill, feel it in your hands. And even if you only spend like $5 at Quick Trip or $2 at Quick Trip and you have to break that $100 bill, don't you just get a sad feeling?
Yeah.
And it's no longer $100.
And that's what, like, if we talk about that type of happiness just for a minute, like, there's nothing wrong with that type of happiness. But there is something wrong with the constant pursuit of that, of happiness, if you will.
Right, right, yeah.
Because I talked about the Enneagram numbers before and those things. So I'm a 7, which means what it is I like to distract myself at all times with lots of different things, and I don't really like pain at all. And this is evident in my life sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'll do a million different things trying to get like happy, 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 happy. And then like when I can't find happiness, I find something else to go find it some more. But the pursuit of happiness leads to the opposite.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But
the surest way to avoid happiness is to insist on always having it.
Exactly. And really what makes it so special is that you can't always have it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think here's where it is. Blessed are the poor in spirit. All of these things. The pursuit of joy is the exact same thing as the pursuit of God.
Right? Yeah, that's interesting.
Happiness can come in an instant and it can leave in an instant. But I feel like joy only comes from knowing the Father, and it lasts because we can know the Father forever. And so this pursuit of God brings joy that doesn't leave after I break a $100 bill or my team loses to Tom Brady. Like, it's always going to be there.
It's so true. And so this, I mean, the kind of happiness Jesus is talking about, blessed, it is an undergirding kind of happiness that doesn't depend on whether, like in my case, I talked about, you know, my knees hurt. I have a hard time standing up right now, you know, hard time walking. You know, I just had knee replacement. So, you know, all these aches and pains, or, you know, the frustration at your job, or your teachers at school that are so demanding, or they don't understand you, or your friends that, you know, people that don't give you the kind of support that you feel like you need, your parents are annoying or whatever it is, all the stuff that we go through, it's this kind of happiness that Jesus is talking about is something that makes us sort of not immune, but kind of immune to those things. Gives us a level of peace and contentment that no matter what happens on the surface, we're good.
Right.
We're doing good.
Yeah.
So the first thing he says,
blessed are the poor in spirit.
Poor in spirit.
What does he mean, Phil? What are the poor in spirit?
Well, I think there's a tendency to think that means humble. But I think a better definition, I think, is someone who has embraced the fact that spiritually, in myself, I am completely bankrupt.
Boom.
That I don't, just in and of myself, I don't have spiritually what I need. Without a relationship with God, I'm empty.
And this is one of those things that's really difficult, because I think, especially with students, like, a lot of them are, they have troubles with self-consciousness. They don't really have a lot of self-confidence in believing they're worth anything. And so it's this difficult path, because it's true, right? Without God, you aren't worth anything. I'm not worth anything.
Yeah.
But with God, like, my worth is times so much. My spirit is lifted, right? Like, my identity changes from being this fleshly creature going after my own desires to being Christ, right? Like, my identity has changed. And so it's this deal of, like, recognizing that just because you are poor in spirit doesn't mean that you are worthless. Because through Christ, you have worth. Because of God, you have so much worth. And that's, I think, it's a hard line, because I don't want students leaving only with the part that you are worthless, right? You can't leave thinking that.
No.
You have to understand that through Christ, you have worth.
Right. And really, that you're, you know, when we talk about how humans are sinful, depraved, that's a temporary condition. We weren't created that way.
No.
But we were born that way because of Adam. So the Christian narrative is that we were created in the image of God. That image of God was lost. And so we went into this sort of worthless or broken or depraved state. And in Christ, we
have a way out.
We have a way out, and we become connected with Him as we were originally intended.
Yeah.
So in a way, we get back what we originally had, at least in the mind and in the destiny of God.
Ooh, and this is going to hit, right? Just because you are worthless doesn't mean you are worth less than anybody else.
Right. Because to God, we were worth the blood of Christ. We were worth His own Son. That's incredible worth for someone who is in a worthless state.
Yes.
That's what grace is.
Exactly. And so I want to make sure we're clear on that, because it's a difficult line that we walk on when we talk about these things, because it's true, but there is truth in that there is worth in Christ. And so if you're listening to this and you're struggling with those things, you're struggling with feeling any sense of worth in yourself, know that through Christ there is worth, and that God loved you before you knew Christ. Like, God still wanted to save you. God still loved you and wanted you well before you knew Christ or you had been transformed. And so,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he never changed his mind. His intention always was to adopt us as his beloved children. His intention always was that we would be joined to him. you know, he loves us. We obviously have value to him. But why is it so important for us then to recognize that how much we are in need, how empty we are spiritually before or without Christ? Because we can still experience that emptiness even though we know Christ. We can still sort of step over and live in that sense of emptiness, can't we? Because I've totally been there.
Right.
And I know a lot of people live there. So why is that? You know, how is that a key for us? How do we get into that spiritual poverty mode in the right way so that it brings to us the happiness Jesus is talking about?
I think Christ said it best.
Wow.
When he said, a doctor doesn't come to heal the healthy. A doctor comes to heal the sick. And yeah. What he's saying is not that the Pharisees were healthy, but that the Pharisees thought they were healthy.
Yes.
Right? He wasn't saying they've already figured it out. He's just saying they think they have, but they have no clue. And so a doctor can't help anybody that thinks they're healthy. They need to know that they need a savior. And so sometimes we think we're entering this partnership with God where we're going to work on our salvation together. But the only partnership there is that I figure out I'm depraved, like all of the sins that I've committed and that I know that I'm depraved, and then that I choose him. In the end, right? Which, right. Depending on your theology, maybe you don't even believe that you have the choice.
Some people don't like that word choose, but you trust him or whatever whatever your feeling is about what actually happens in that moment. There's a moment where you take stock in your heart of that spiritual poverty, that need for God, or as some people talk about, there's a philosopher, I can't remember his name, talked about the God-shaped void in all of us.
Yeah.
My apologetic students, I apologize. If any of my former apologetic students are listening, I am old. I have forgotten the man's name that I taught you so much about. But he talked about the God-shaped void. His name will come to me after we finish the episode. But our need for God, we have to recognize that.
Yeah.
So,
and I think too, just looking at this here, and this is where we can come back to identity again and again and again, but like talking about coming back to live in that, where I live in being worthless and I come back to that constantly. When I read verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? Like God is saying, blessed are those who have realized they have nothing because now I have given them everything, right? Yeah. And so it's that I can go back and live in my flesh, which has nothing, or I can choose to live and walk according to the Spirit, which says, I have the kingdom of heaven. Talk about worth.
Yeah.
Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then as we talked in the identity episode through love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love shall not boast. And we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. You have all of those things. All of those things have worth. Your identity in Christ has been changed from someone who had none of those things to someone who has 100% of all of those things. And so I think that is where our worth comes from, and that is where you can find it. And so when you catch yourself living in that worthlessness, you gotta look to God because he says, you're not worthless. I've given you all of this.
Yes. So, and it's kind of, and this is what I would say is the key. You have to always know that your power for life, your joy, your peace, your life is Christ. It just comes from him. It is through that union with him that you're happy, that you're able to breathe. You live and breathe and move in him.
Yeah.
We just can't go back. I think the key is to realize that fleshly way of life doesn't work. Stay away from it. Don't even try.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, you talked about blessed are those who are poor in spirit or who realize they have nothing because in Christ, he's going to give us everything. Here's what Ephesians 1 says in the Passion Translation. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And in love, he chose us before the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one of the Messiah, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace for the same love he has for the beloved Jesus he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Yeah, very important. So yeah, so great conversation. Do you have a hard truth from that? I mean, I think that is a hard truth.
Oh my goodness. Yes. The hard truth is that we need God. Right? Yeah. I think that's where it's got to be at. I mean, that's the oatmeal for today. One more thing. So my wife listens to a podcast called Don't Mom Alone. Really good stuff, especially for those young mothers and mothers out there.
Yeah.
Especially being like a Christian mom sometimes, I think, can feel a little bit lonely.
Yeah.
And so really good. But one of the episodes we listened to together was called Nurturing Your Marriage. And so Brent and Janice Sharp were on there, and they talked about what's called the 90-10 rule. That they talk about with couples, or 90-10 lie. And essentially what it is, right, like 90% of things may be going well and going really good, but we're missing those other, that 10% of things, or those 10% of things that aren't going like we want, and we tend to concentrate on those 10% of things and try to say this whole thing's bad.
Right.
When really it's only 10, sometimes 5, 4, 3%. And so I think just talking about happiness earlier, I've always said happiness is a choice. And that the way I live my life is that I'm not always chasing happiness, but I'm a generally happy guy. Just
right.
Earlier I said that, I'm good is my typical response, not because I just want to avoid a conversation, but because I genuinely feel like I'm good, even when stuff's going on. But in this, it was just such a tell for me. And so for our listeners, I think thinking about like, okay, what's driving me crazy, or what's making me hate this, or what's no good? And is that actually the majority, or is just that 1% of this, whatever it is that's making me unhappy or causing me to lose sight or that I'm missing in this thing? And in this, it was talking about in your marriage, but I think it's applicable to every single part of our life where we look.
Absolutely.
And those 1% of things sometimes we allow to ruin the whole batch. And that's not on the 1%. That's on us.
Yeah. I think you need to, as a friend of mine used to say, we need to right size things.
Yeah.
In other words, get things in perspective. See, you know, what's really important, those things are worth so much more than that 10%, or even if it's 50 or 80% of your earthly circumstance right at this moment. I mean, man, you lose a child or a loved one.
Oh my goodness.
How, you feel like that's 100% of your life.
Yeah.
But at some point, the Holy Spirit, the grace of God has to come in and say, I am so much greater than even 100% of this life. So, whatever percentage it is, and mostly it is, usually is like 10% or 5%.
Or 1%.
And we just get so hooked on that, trying to fix that, if only this, if only that. Such a great bit of wisdom. The 90-10 lie. Yeah, that's 90, really good.
90-10 lie. All right, Phil, you have any culture for everybody?
You told me that today, that the what is it, the movie that's coming out on the WandaVision culture on
Oh,
I was thinking about Wanda because we had the Wanda moment.
So today, I know this weekend, it's supposed to be Winter Soldier and Falcon get released, the new series. Yeah, I think it's another like 10-episode series, just like WandaVision.
Say that this morning I started watching. They've released sometime this week, I think, it's called Assembled.
Okay.
And it started with WandaVision, and it's kind of a behind the scenes like they did with Mandalorian.
Oh, nice. You love that stuff.
Yeah, the Mandalorian stuff was incredible. I loved just listening to and it was centered on Favreau. So far, I've watched just a couple of minutes, and it's just so far, it's just the actors.
Yeah.
Actors are fine too.
So the lady who plays Wanda Maximoff, she's related. She's the sister of the twins, the Olsen twins, Mary Kate and Ashley.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I had no idea until just like she walked the red carpet with them and stuff. You know, they're not in acting anymore, but it's just wild.
That's
like,
wild.
She's the young, and then once you know, like you look at pictures, you're like, oh my goodness, course she is.
She looks like him.
Obviously.
Absolutely she does.
Yeah, so she wasn't, I don't think she was in Full House, but basically.
Yeah, she's probably on the set.
Yeah, that's really cool. Really, really cool.
Yeah. So that's our minute of culture. We have music playing?
No.
No.
We are out of time. We're out of ideas. We are out of sanity, but we love you guys. Thank you for joining us today on Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. Let me remind you that there are stickers for sale that you can purchase online. Make sure you DM us, email us at lucas@eastwoodtulsa.com, phil@eastwoodtulsa.com, or secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
Or secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy a sticker, you have questions, comments, concerns, shoot us a message. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and
how we can best help you. And we want to hear from one of our listeners right now.
My name is Jay.
Hey, Jay.
And my favorite breakfast food is cold pizza.
What's your favorite thing to Big Bang Girls and Donuts?
Just my show. My favorite thing so far is the maple and bacon gluten-free donuts.
If that was you, the contest has now officially begun.
Right.
In earnest.
You can get some free swag. Make sure you send that over. Let us hear from you. We love you guys.
Post us. Tag us in a post.
Tag us in a post. Yeah, you got to tag us.
You don't tag us in a post.
We don't know.
You don't get nothing.
Yep. You can do it on Instagram, Facebook. We don't have a Twitter, so don't do it on there. We'll have no idea.
Yeah.
You can shout us out all you want. We just won't know.
Yeah, won't know, but other people, which is fine.
Anyway, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. Phil, any last words?
Love and pancakes.
Love and pancakes.
Wait. Somebody else wants to say love and pancakes.
Oh, it's you. You guys are so cute. All right. We love you. Have a good week.
See you next time on Second Breakfast.
Got them beatitudes coming out now. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They got the kingdom of heaven now. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And the meek inherit in the earth, son.